This talk is offered by Ordinary Mind Zendo. Ordinary Mind was founded by Barry Magid, Dharma heir of Charlotte Joko Beck, and is dedicated to her vision of a psychologically minded Zen practice adapted to the needs of American students practicing in the context of their everyday lives. Our public programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
Once there was a monk who one day simply stopped following the regular schedule of the monastery and his fellow monks. He started sleeping in late, didn't go down to sit in Zazen very much, and he never went to hear any of the teacher's talks. This went on for a while, and eventually the teacher began to notice, so he had the head monk, drag him down into Dokusan and ask what's going on. And he says, "How come you don't come to sit Zazen or come listen to any of my talks?" And the monk said, "A man who has eaten his fill is not tempted by a new banquet." So how would we deal with such a monk? It represents sort of the opposite of the way Joko used to describe her students as hungry little birds with their beaks open, just waiting for the mama bird to drop a worm in. Here we have somebody who says, "I'm full, not hungry anymore, right? Got all the worms I need, right? I've heard enough goddamn talks." Now what that kind of picture presents is of sort of a picture of realization as something you start off lacking and then you can get. And once you've got it, you don't have to go chasing for it anymore. But what do you do? What do you do with it? What's it for? How are you different? I guess one way he says, "Well, now I get a lot more sleep. Don't have to get up early like all those monks." But we would like there to be perhaps some other outward sign of realization other than sleeping late. See, Dogen, of course, presents a very different picture of realization, not as something that you get once and for all, then can sit back and be satisfied with, but says that realization is inseparable from practice itself, and that the attainment and expression of realization are inseparable. Now he says this in the context of a monastic life where sitting and the rituals and the forms of life of the monastery are, in his vision, all the expressions of the realization of Shikantaza. And in a sense, no, I would disagree with that picture and say that for us, it's not practice that is inseparable from realization, but life is inseparable from realization. That every activity of our daily life is the fact and expression of the awakened way. See, the danger for us or for many people in a monastic setting is if you identify practice with realization, you can sort of then get into this mindset that says, sitting zazen in a particular posture with a straight back, with your robes on right, you know, when you sit there and perform zazen in that way, that's realization. And that becomes, you know, really a very narrow-minded picture of this one form of life is it. Right? We got it. And if we just do it right, then we've got nothing to worry about. Now, if you're already a monk, if you're already living that life, you've been in there since you were 11, and you know you ain't going anywhere, and you're going to stay there till you die, the form of practice and your daily life are identical, right? Then it's not any different to say daily life is realization, it's the same practice. Being a monk is realization. That's your world. Your world is your realization. But for lay people, for people who are going about their business in the world, we need to see our realization all around us. And what is the nature of realization in daily life? Well, the basic thing that we realize in our practice is impermanence and interdependence. That these are the fundamental qualities of all things, ourselves and our world. And everything manifests that all the time. It's not just something that shows up sitting on a cushion. You don't have to look far around you to see signs of impermanence. When we chant every day, life as it is, the only teacher, what we're basically saying is that life is this relentless teacher of impermanence and interdependence. Interdependence being the opposite of autonomy and self-mastery. You can't create through practice or anything else a bubble of invulnerability. Now, the unfolding of our practice, life realization, can then take many forms, can take any form at all. And the only thing that sets a limit to the forms it takes is when we try to settle in to something that we think is permanent, secure, autonomous, and under our control. Then we've lost sight of the fundamental realization of Buddhism. Now when we sit, we're enacting something in our practice, whether or not we feel like that results in something that, oh, I've got it. Maybe We're like the dog chasing a fire truck, with the fire truck being our stand-in for realization. And every week we come down here, we see the fire truck go by, and we go chase it. Now the chase itself, in a sense, is our practice. You know, as they say, what would a dog do with a fire truck if he actually caught the damn thing, right? No dog actually wants a mouthful of fender, but there's something about chasing the fire truck that is a complete and full expression of dog nature, right? If that dog really throws himself in to chasing the fire truck, he's being as doggy as you can get, you know? He's discovered his true dog self, right? Now, at least in the comic books of the old days, the firehouse used to have a Dalmatian living there, right? And when the fire truck went out to the fire, the Dalmatian would ride, you know, in the truck, up on the front seat, sitting up there, you know, riding along proudly with the fire truck. Has the Dalmatian achieved something that the dog chasing the fire truck has not achieved? Right? You just see sort of two forms of what does it mean to be in relation to realization. See, whether we are wholeheartedly engaged, whether we are in some sense resting comfortably in the reality of who and what we are, just showing up wholeheartedly to our life is the practice of realization of Zen. It's not dependent on robes or cushions or zendos, although those things are useful pointers. Dogs need fire trucks to chase, right, to become fully a dog, right? It's sort of part of what brings out their nature. Zazen is sort of like that, yeah. Gives us something to do to express ourselves. Now, I think the monk in this story at some point needs to get off his butt, not sleep late, and figure out what will be his role in participating in the flow of life, either in or out of the monastery. For some people, you know, the point is to say, I don't need to, you know, do this particular thing. There's a big world out there. I can go out there and engage the world. Other people will say, this really feels like me. I need to become part of this this life. If this monk feels like he's had a full meal, gotten what he came for, filled himself up, well, I think the next step is to learn how to cook those meals for others. Right? They don't just cook themselves necessarily. Somebody has to be involved in the holding and maintaining and the creation of this whole Dharma world, this whole form of life. So part of our expression of realization can be a commitment to be part of it and to maintain it. But whatever we do, it's our wholehearted engagement with it that is what counts. And it's the journey, not the arrival that matters.